Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Today we celebrate National Poetry Month with a mix of audio craft and spoken word. That's the track Ocean from Poetry Out Loud, a band of poets which experimented with spoken word forms in the 1970s. Their work is now being digitally reissued by the label Da Steel. Mark Masters wrote about Poetry Out Loud and a new crop of contemporary spoken word experiments for The Outdoor. That's a blog at pitchfork.com where Mark is contributing editor. Word of Mouth's Taylor Quimby asked Mark how Poetry Out Loud changed the rules for spoken word.
I think the both 50s and 60s, the sort of the classic spoken word that you hear about is beat poetry or, you know, things read in coffee shops over maybe a jazz background. Sort of that's as far as they went. And with Poetry Out Loud, this happened a little afterwards from about 69 to 77. Basically a project of two couples, four people who were living in Kansas and Tennessee. They really weren't trying to build or change anything that happened before. I think their main issue was with poetry itself, and they felt that poetry on the page just wasn't all there was to poetry. Their series was intended as sort of an audio magazine. It came out on LPs, but you could buy a subscription, and they even took submissions. One of the little anecdotes about them that really points out how innovative and experimental they wanted to be is that Allen Ginsberg actually sent in a submission at one point, and they rejected it because it was too conventional.
What other ways were they experimenting? What other formats?
Loops were a big thing with them, but also chanting and using the voice and the word as a rhythmic element, sometimes even as a beat. Cutting things up sort of like the William Burroughs-style collage, but doing it in a way that's more directly involved with the sounds rather than the words.
And who's doing the reissue?
It's a label in Minnesota called Da Steel, which is a great, one of the best, most interesting underground experimental labels happening right now. And they do all sorts of different musical experimentation. They're very interested in the history of experimentation, so they do reissues, but they also do a lot of current bands, too. And I know Clint Simonson, who runs the label, is a bit of a record collector, too. And I know he and a few other people he works with found some of these Poetry Out Loud records over the past 10 years and were really fascinated by them and thought that more people should hear them.
What about contemporary artists experimenting with spoken word recordings? Who else have you been following?
Well, one of the biggest or at least most active people in this sort of realm is Daniel Higgs, who was the lead singer of a post-punk band in the 90s called Lungfish, based out of Washington, D.C. A lot of what he does on his solo records is spoken word, and is very focused on sort of mantras and chants. He's also tends to be sort of an improvisational poet. Like, he had a record a couple years ago called Say God, where many of the songs, it sounded like he was working out the words as he went along. His work, he just has an immediacy and sort of an impulsiveness that's really captivating.
Let's hear a little bit from Daniel Higgs. This is an excerpt from a track called She, and this is from the album Ultraterrestrial Harvest Hymns.
Exactly as you presently and immediately find yourself.
Betwixt absolute dynamism and total stasis. In the midst of a song, your own immediate experience melodically migrating through the seemingness of time.
I love the way the banjo sort of comes in out of nowhere there.
Yeah, kind of amazing. It just sort of slams in there.
So, Mark Masters, who else have you been paying attention to?
Well, there's a really interesting Texas-based poet and writer and spoken word artist named Bill Shute, who has his own handmade label called Kendra Steiner Editions. He's a rock critic as well. He's written a lot about music and written a lot of poetry. He's a little bit more of a conventional spoken word artist than someone like Dan Higgs. He basically straightforwardly reads a lot of his work, but there's something about his tone. He lets the words do the work. I think often with spoken word, there's this tendency to sort of act the words, and I think Bill sort of looks at himself as sort of conduit for the words and for what he's trying to say. There's a new CD he did with a guitarist named Anthony Guerra. I think they really meld together well. Anthony's kind of phrasing the way he plays guitar really responds and manages to sort of echo them and also counterpoint them at some points.
And let's listen to a little bit from that. Here's an excerpt from the track Marion, Texas, and that's off the album Subtraction by Bill Shute and Anthony Guerra.
Town full of metal buildings, once thought temporary. Different colors of paint having faded into a dull sameness. But lacking any initiative to move once settled. Porn rentals steeped with the flavor of yesterday's fried chicken under the convenience store counter. High school pregnancies under the radar. Major brand beer purchased in 24 packs. The ruling class.
I really like the pacing on this track. And I kind of wonder, what order they did it in, whether or not he wrote these poems and then put them to music, or whether or not he recorded the track and Anthony Guerra added the music like a soundtrack, or whether or not they sort of came up with it together. Do you know?
I think Anthony added the music. I think that Anthony actually does not live near Bill, so I think this was primarily a sort of by-mail collaboration or by-internet collaboration.
We had Daniel Higgs. His piece was, sort of mashed together, and then Bill Shute, something a little more conventional. How about the group or artist that you mentioned in your article, Spielgusher?
Well, this is another example of a rock critic doing some spoken word, or Richard Meltzer is the main voice in this project. But he's backed by Mike Watt, who was in the Minutemen and Firehose, and a couple of musicians who were in the band Cornelius. I mean, Meltzer has been, he's sort of one of the original rock critics. His writing always tended towards sort of an absurdity, a cartoonishness. It feels like he's just sort of sitting around talking to you rather than performing these words. It kind of gets his personality across. I mean, that's kind of the way his writing is, too. His writing's kind of impulsive, and it's not overly controlled. It's sort of comes right out of his brain onto the page.
Okay, so let's listen to a little bit of that. This is Begins With S by Spielgusher.
Starting this week, everything will begin with S. Dirt will begin with S. Radishes will begin with S. Destiny, prosthetics, and flotation will all begin with S. Big walnuts yonder will begin with S. Days darker than your nights will begin with S. High as a kite, bold as a bee will begin with S.
You know, I think my 7-month-old son would really like this song.
I think he'd be like a perfect children's book author. I hope he goes into that.
Two rock critics that you mentioned trying their hand at spoken word. I'm sort of wondering if, do you think that rock critics who maybe are a little disillusioned by the state of rock and roll or the state of music might be gravitating towards spoken word?
I mean, I think there's always been sort of the line that a rock critic is a frustrated musician, and I don't know that that's 100% true, but I do think that rock critics naturally are very attuned to both how words work and how sounds work. I mean, what I'm most interested in is can spoken word be an experimental form? And it seems to me like a natural person to be able to do something like that would be someone who listens to music all the time, thinks about music all the time, and has to make words that have concrete meaning that describe that music all the time. And Meltzer and Shute are definitely people who figured out a way to live in that intersection.
One other project that you mentioned in your article by a man named Phil Blankenship. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Sure. Well, Phil's basically known as a noise musician, makes really sort of aggressive, abstract noise music. But for this project, he had the idea of taking the Red Hot Chili Peppers album, Blood Sugar Sex Magic, and just reciting all the lyrics in order as they appear on that album without any musical accompaniment. So basically turning it into a piece of spoken word art. When you first hear this idea, you think, well, that's a funny concept, but I know exactly what to expect by listening to it if I've heard any of their music. But I think it's really surprising how compelling and how it is and how much it really works on its own. I mean, his delivery is very urgent, very insistent. It sounds like he recorded it walking around on a little tape recorder, so it's very raw. Really find some profundity in stuff that was originally sort of just meant as pop music.
Let's hear a little bit of that. This is Phil Blankenship, one of those tracks that we were talking about, reading lyrics from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This is The Power of Equality.
I've got a soul that cannot sleep at night when something just ain't right. Blood red but without sight, exploding egos in the night. Mixed like sticks of dynamite, red, black, or white, this is my fight. Come on, courage, let's be heard. Turn feelings into words. American equality has always been sour. An attitude I would like to devour. My name is peace. This is my hour. Can I get just a little bit of power? The power of equality is not what it ought to be. It fills me up like a hollow tree. The power of equality.
Can you explain at all the attraction to sort of the hissy lo-fi sound? I know that you said that Phil Blankenship, does a lot of noise recordings, and that's a very aggressive style of music. But it's so strange. It sometimes feels like poets, or at least Phil in this case, is kind of on a mission to make it a little more inaccessible, if you know what I mean.
I think in a way you can relate that a little bit to what Poetry Out Loud was thinking. I think a lot of noise music and low fidelity music and music recorded in not ideal circumstances is sort of about being open to everything and trying everything. I mean, experimental in the most pure sense of the word is that anything can be music, anything can be art. If I walk down the street and record myself talking to a microphone, or I go into a studio and have a sound engineer record me, those are two different things, but one's not inherently more valid than the other. We might be more used to one, so we find it a little more immediately acceptable. But what Phil does and what Poetry Out Loud did and what a lot of more underground artists are trying to do is to see, well, what happens if I did it a different way? You know, what kind of things can I find out that I might not be able to find out if I did something more conventionally? Swing!
Mark Masters there, freelance writer and contributing editor to Pitchfork.com, speaking with word of mouth producer Taylor Quimby. In keeping with the spirit of National Poetry Month and the weird genius of Phil Blankenship, we thought we'd turn some pop lyrics into spoken word ourselves. So, which songs contain a hidden poetry or banality that you'd like us to recite? I see a red door and I want to paint it black. Betcha by golly wow. Whoomp, there it is. We're game if you are. Send your song ideas to us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at wordofmouthradio.org, where there's also a link to Mark's article, A Word is Worth a Thousand Songs, and several samples of new spoken word experiments. Coming up, want to get Gen Y interested in town hall politics? Make a video game. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.